You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Evolution, Running Out of Time. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
On December 24, 1991, in a major article, the New York Times said that for many biologists, Charles Darwin is a hero of near godlike proportions. This New York Times article stated that Darwin's ideas are as powerful today as they were when they were first perceived. This statement may sound very, very impressive. However, as one noted philosopher once correctly said, saying something doesn't automatically make it true. Therefore, as we enter the new millennium, to say that Darwin's theory of evolution is rock-like or immovable or indestructible, to say this is absurd, foolish, and even laughable. Darwin's theory of evolution may be very, very popular in some circles, but it remains just that, no more than a theory. In fact, in recent years, an increasing number of respectable, secular, non-Christian scientists have raised serious doubts about the theory of evolution. Some non-Christian scientists have even totally rejected the evolutionary theory as set forth by Darwin in his book, Origin of Species. One scientist who has addressed this perpetual controversial issue is Dr. Michael Denton, a molecular biologist from Australia. Even though Dr. Denton does not claim to be a Christian, in his book titled Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, Denton provides fascinating facts and incredible illustrations that promote not evolution, but the wonders of God's creation. At one point, Dr. Denton notes that if today one were using an old-style microscope like those available in Darwin's day, and if you were looking at a human cell, you would see an ever-changing and apparently disordered pattern of blobs and particles which are continually tossed haphazardly in all directions. In other words, using the type of microscope available in Darwin's day, you would not see all that much. However, Dr. Denton then explains that if you examine a single human cell using a modern and powerful electronic microscope, the tiny cell would be magnified 1,000,000,000 times. This tiny human cell would then look like a giant airship, large enough to cover the city of New York or London. This would enable you to see the intricacies of God's creation. Now, if you think that is impressive, listen to this. In looking at a single human cell through a modern electronic microscope, this cell would appear as an object of unparalleled complexity and design. On the surface of this cell, you would see millions of openings, like the portholes of a vast spaceship, opening and closing to allow a continual stream of materials to flow in and out. And if you were to enter one of these openings, you would find yourself in a world of supreme technology. You would be surrounded by bewildering complexity. You would be absolutely amazed to see the endless, highly organized corridors and the conduits branching in every direction, leading away from the perimeter of the cell. Some of these conduits would lead to the central memory bank in the nucleus, and others would lead to assembly plants and processing units. The nucleus itself would be a vast spherical chamber, more like a kilometer in diameter, resembling a geodesic dome, inside of which you would see all neatly stacked together in ordered arrays, miles and miles of coiled chains of DNA molecules. A huge range of products and raw materials would be shuttling along, all the manifold conduits in a highly ordered fashion to and from all the various assembly plants in the outer regions of that tiny cell. Now, I could go on and on, further quoting Dr. Denton's explanation of the many incredible elements and miraculous functions of a single human cell. However, what I think is so important here is to say that Dr. Denton, a secular scientist, is openly exclaiming his utter fascination with God's marvelous creation. Whether he knows it or not, Dr. Denton sounds very much like a clear echo of the Apostle Paul, who said that, and I quote, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes and his eternal power and his divine nature have all been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made." And what is the Apostle Paul saying in all of this? St. Paul is simply saying this: if you have any question whatsoever whether God exists, then look around you. The beautiful trees, the impressive mountains, the dazzling stars, yes, even the intricacies of a single human cell shout loudly that these marvels didn't simply happen. They didn't simply evolve by themselves. It is indeed as the prophet Nehemiah says, "Lord, thou hast made the heavens, the earth, and all that is in them." Oh, what efforts have been made, what endless books have been published, what numerous nature movies have been produced, all, yes, all to convince the public that the world in which we live evolved by itself. However, in spite of all these attempts to shove God out of the picture, God remains very much in the picture. In fact, God is at the center of the picture. Every day, yes, every day and night, the creation declares loudly the wonders of God. By day, the beautiful flowers, the changing seasons, the interesting animals, and by night, the twinkling stars, the stunning full moon, and the brilliant planets that pierce the darkness of the galaxies all glorify God and give no credence whatsoever to evolution. Now, not long ago, some scientists got together for a meeting at a major U.S. university. And it also happened that many of these scientists, including one who was even a Nobel Prize winner, these scientists all agreed that it doesn't make any sense to believe that the world just evolved. Rather, they agreed, there must be a creator behind all of this. Using even their best scientific expertise, however, that's all they could say. The one question they admitted which was beyond the reach of science is this: how can one know God personally? This is also what the deputy science editor of the New York Times Magazine said on April 16, 1999, in an article titled, "The Universe is Knowable Up to a Point." This editor states that Albert Einstein often pointed out that all our science never takes away the mystery of creation and never satisfies our thirst for knowing what is beyond. Even if we had a theory for everything, Einstein said, this would not tell us what we really want to know, and that is this: does God love us? Science textbooks don't answer this question. Microscopes don't reveal this answer. Research will never discover it, but God in His Word has revealed the answer to this ultimate question in life. The Apostle John, one of the closest disciples of Jesus, writes, "By this, the love of God," he says, "was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him." In this is love, not that we love God, the Bible says, but that He loved us and has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Whoever confesses, the Bible says, that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, we have come to know, St. John writes, and have believed the love which God has for us. Oh, my friend, it is indeed true that the world in all of its created beauty reveals, declares, demonstrates, proclaims, yes, it gives evidence that God exists. And scientists and philosophers must also be commended for their honesty when they admit publicly that even though they can see from creation that a divine creator exists, nevertheless, By merely looking at the creation with science, one can never know our God as He wants to be known through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. Yet, Jesus, the only begotten Son, yes, He, Jesus, has explained God. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, we read that after our Heavenly Father spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, then in these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And so then the clear message from the Bible is this. First, you and I, like the psalmist and others, we need to spend time in parks and out in the open fields and beside the ocean and the hills and mountains and alongside beautiful streams so that we have the opportunity to see what God has so beautifully created. But let's also keep in mind something that is even more important, and that is this: God's power to create faith, a faith that He, God, has created all things, and a faith that in Jesus God has redeemed all things. When you and I were born, we were born without faith. However, we receive hope when we read in Romans 10 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You and I need to rejoice daily. Yes, we need to rejoice daily in God's creation as we view it all around us. But we need to rejoice even more greatly that through His dynamic and life-giving Word, God creates faith in the hearts of all those who do not reject His Word. It is through this life-giving Word of God that you can be born again, and that you can receive a strong faith from God and a hope that is eternal. The Apostle Peter writes, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God." Through His Word, God creates faith. This faith then enables you to believe the central message of the Bible, that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Oh, the blood that flowed. When Jesus died on the cross, this was not blood that was spilled for some social or political or revolutionary cause. When Jesus died on the cross, Jesus died in your place. Jesus died to pay the terrible penalty that God demanded for your sins. And so, my friend, rejoice. Yes, rejoice greatly that God not only created the world, but that through His Word, God creates faith. In your heart and through this gift of faith, God enables you to believe His good news and thereby be saved. And so, my friend, God created you. God loves you. God sent His only Son to die for you. And now, through His living Word, God is calling you and drawing you back to Himself. O Lord, we pray today, by Your Spirit, enable all listeners to this program to see Your handiwork in all You have created. But even more important, O Lord, by Your Spirit, create faith and strengthen the faith of all who have listened to Your holy and saving Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.